Chapter 16. "Who is that officer?" Isaac Bell demanded of the protection services operative assigned to guard Farley Kent's drawing loft in the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
"I don't know, Mr. Bell."
"How did he get in here?"
"He knew the password."
Van Dorn Protection Services had issued passwords for each of the Hull 44 dreadnought men it was guarding. After getting past the Marines guarding the gates, a visitor still had to prove he was expected by the individual he claimed to be visiting. "Where is Mr. Kent?"
"They're all in the test chamber working on that cage mast model," the protection services operative answered, pointing across the drawing loft at a closed door that led to the laboratory. "Is there something wrong, Mr. Bell?"
"Three things," Bell answered tersely. "Farley Kent is not here, so he does not seem to have expected that officer to visit. The officer has been studying Kent's drawing board since I walked in. And in case you haven't noticed, he is wearing the uniform of the Tsar's Navy."
"Them blue uniforms look all the same," the operative replied, reminding Bell that few PS boys possessed the brains and moxie to climb the ladder to full-fledged Van Dorn detective. "Besides, he's carrying them rolled-up drawings like they all do. You want I should question him, Mr. Bell?"
"I'll do it. Next time someone walks in unexpected, assume he's trouble until you learn otherwise." Bell strode across the big loft past rows of drawing boards that were usually occupied by the naval architects testing the cage mast.
The man in the Russian officer's uniform was so engrossed in Farley Kent's drawing that he gave a startled jump and dropped the rolls he had tucked under his arm when Bell said, "Good morning, sir."
"Oh, I do not hear approach," he said in a heavy Russian accent, scrambling to pick them up.
"May I have your name, please?"
"I am Second Lieutenant Vladimir Ivanovich Yurkovich of His Majesty Tsar Nicholas's Imperial Russian Navy. And to whom do I have the honor?"
"Have you an appointment here, Lieutenant Yurkovich?" The Russian, who looked barely old enough to shave, bowed his head.
"Sadly, no. I am hoping to meet with Mr. Farley Kent."
"Does Mr. Kent know you?"
"Not yet, sir."
"Then how did you get in here?" Yurkovich smiled disarmingly.
"With entitled demeanor, impeccable uniform, and crisp salute."
Isaac Bell did not smile back.
"That might get you past the Marines guarding the gate. But where did you get the password to go to Kent's drawing loft?"
"In bar outside gates, I meet Marine officer. He tells me password."
Bell beckoned the protection services operative. "Lieutenant Yurkovich will sit on that stool away from this drawing board until I return." To Lieutenant Yurkovich, he said, "This gentleman is fully capable of knocking you to the floor. Do as he tells you." Then Bell crossed the loft and pushed open the door to the test chamber. A dozen of Kent's staff were circled around a 10-foot-tall model of an experimental battleship cage mast. The young naval architects held wire snips, micrometers, slide rules, notepaper, and tape measures. The round, freestanding structure, which stood on a dolly, was made of stiff wires that spiraled from base to top in a counterclockwise twist and were braced at intervals by horizontal rings. It represented, in miniature, a 120-foot-high mast made of lightweight tubing and was correct in every detail down to the mesh platforms within some of the rings. Electric leads and voice pipes running from the spotter's top to the fire director's tower and tiny ladders angling up the interior. Two of Kent's architects held ropes attached to opposite sides of the round base, a tape measure strung between the walls passed next to the top. An architect on a stepladder watched the tape closely. Farley Kent said, "Port side salvo. Fire!" The architect on the left side jerked his rope, and the man watching the tape called out how much the tower had swayed. 6 inches, was recorded. "At 12 to 1, that's 6 feet, said Kent.
The spotters on top better hold on tight when the ship fires her main turrets. On the other hand, a tripod mast will weigh 100 tons, while our cage of redundant members will weigh less than 20. A huge saving. Okay, let's measure how she sways after being hit by several shells. Wielding a wire snips, he severed at random two of the spiraled uprights and one of the rings. Ready! Wait! An architect sprang up the ladder and propped a sailor doll with red cheeks and a straw hat in the spotting top. The test chamber rang with laughter, tense the loudest of all. Starboard salvo! Fire! The rope was jerked, the top of the mast swayed sharply, and the doll flew across the room. Bell caught it. Mr. Kent, may I see you a moment? What's the matter? Asked Kent as he snipped another vertical wire and his assistants watched carefully to see the effect on the mast. We may have caught our first spy, Bell said in a low voice. Could you come with me, please? Lieutenant Yurkovich jumped from the stool before the Van Dorn Protection Services operative could stop him and grabbed Kent's hand.
His honor to meet. His great honor.
Who are you?
Yurkovich, from St. Petersburg.
Naval Staff Headquarters?
Of course, sir. Baltic Shipyard.
Kent asked, is it true that Russia is building 5 battleships bigger than HMS Dreadnought? Yurkovich shrugged.
There is hope for super dreadnoughts, but Duma perhaps say no. Too expensive.
What are you doing here?
The idea is that I meet legend Farley Kent.
You came all the way here, just to meet me.
To show. See.
Yurkovich unrolled his plans and spread them over Kent's table.
What do you think? Improvement of form for body of ship.
While Farley Kent studied Yurkovich's drawings, Bell took the Russian officer aside and said, describe the Marine officer who gave you the password.
Was medium-sized man in dark suit. Old as you, maybe 30. Very neat, very trim. Mustache like pencil. Very, what is word?
Precise. Dark suit. No uniform.
In mufti.
Then how did you know he was a Marine officer?
He told me.
Isaac Bell's stern expression grew dark. He spoke coldly. When and where are you supposed to report back to him?
I don't understand.
You must have agreed to report to him what you saw here.
No. I do not know him. How would I find him?
Lieutenant Yurkovich, I am having difficulty believing your story. And I don't suppose it will do your career in the Tsar's Navy any good if I turn you over to the United States Navy as a spy.
A spy? Yurkovich blurted. No.
Stop playing games with me and tell me how you learned the password.
Spy? Repeated the Russian. I am not spy.
Before Bell could reply, Farley Kent spoke up. He doesn't need to spy on us. What do you mean?
I mean that we should spy on him.
What are you talking about, Mr. Kent?
Lieutenant Yurkovich's improvement of form for body of ship is a hell of a lot better than it looks.
He gestured at various elements of the finely wrought drawing. At first glance, it appears bulky amidships, fat even, and weirdly skinny fore and aft. You could say it resembles a cow. In fact, it is brilliant. It will allow a dreadnought to toughen its torpedo defense around machinery and magazines, and increase armament and coal capacity even as it attains greater speed for less fuel. He shook Yurkovich's hand.
Brilliant, sir. I would steal it, but I would never get it approved by the dinosaurs on the Board of Construction. It is 20 years ahead of its time. Thank you, sir. Thank you. From Farley Kent, it is great honor.
And I'll tell you something else, said Kent, though I suspect you've already thought of it yourself. Your hull would make a magnificent passenger liner, a North Atlantic Greyhound that will run rings around Lusitania and Mauritania.
One day,
Yurkovich smiled,
when there is no war.
Kent invited Yurkovich to have lunch with his staff, and the two fell into a discussion of the just-announced building of the White Star Liners Olympic and Titanic. 840 feet,
Kent marveled, to which the Russian replied, I am thinking idea for 1,000. Bell believed that the earnest Russian naval architect had wanted nothing more than the chance to commune with the famous Farley Kent. He did not believe that the self-proclaimed officer who approached Yurkovich in a Sand Street bar was a Marine. Why did he give the Russian the password without demanding he report on Kent's drawings? How had he even known to approach the Russian? The answer was chilling. The spy, the saboteur of minds, as Falconer called him, knew whom to target in the dreadnought race.
This foreign spy stuff is new to us, said Joseph Van Dorn.
The boss was puffing agitatedly on a quick after-lunch cigar in the main lounge of the Railroad Club on the 22nd floor of the Hudson Tunnels terminal before catching a train to Washington.
We hunt murderers, Isaac Bell retorted, his tone grim. Whatever their motive, they are first and foremost criminals.
Still, we'll be making decisions on horseback,
Bell said. I had the research boys draw up a list of foreign diplomats, military attachés, and newspaper reporters who might double as spies for England, Germany, France, Italy, Russia, Japan, and China.
The Navy Secretary just sent me a list of foreigners the Navy suspects could be engaged in espionage.
I'll add it to mine, said Bell. But I want an expert to look them over and save us wild goose chases. Don't you have an old pal still in the Marines who pulls wires at the State Department?
That's putting it mildly.
Canning's the officer who arranges for Marine Corps expeditionary regiments to storm ashore at State's request. He's our man, tight with our overseas attachés. Soon as he goes through our list of foreigners with a fine-tooth comb, I recommend that we observe them in Washington, D.C. and New York, and around Navy yards and factories building warships.
That will require an expensive corps of detectives, Van Dorn said pointedly.
Bell had his answer ready.
The expense can be written off as an investment in friendships forged in Washington. It can't hurt to have the government rely upon the Van Dorn Agency as a national outfit with efficient field offices across the continent.
Van Dorn smiled pleasedly, his red whiskers spreading wide and bright as a brush fire at that happy thought. In addition, Bell pressed, I recommend that Van Dorn Agency specialists listen in the various immigrant neighborhoods of the cities that have Navy yards, German, Irish, Italian, Chinese, for talk of spying, rumors about foreign governments paying for information and sabotage. The dreadnought race is international.
Van Dorn considered that with a hollow chuckle.
We could be looking for more than one spy. Told you this is beyond our usual.
If not us, retorted Isaac Bell, who?